got a magazine subscription or something. And there's the grape worm. And can you imagine little Olivia sitting there looking at that thinking, oh, God, finally. And she just ran around Dublin the rest of the day, crying and showing people the grape worm. And, you know, I think, I remember also the day that the first hardbacks showed up, and I won't say it was anticlimactic, but it was like, thank God, finally, was sort of the attitude of the feeling. And, you know, the basic text came out of a great struggle. I mean, you know, any woman that has a baby can tell you about struggle, the kind of struggle I'm talking about. And ain't always neat and tidy and pretty and clean and all that. It gets a little messy. There is pain. And it's worth it. You know, because that's what real life's all about. And it's like he who expects nothing, something for nothing is a goddamn fool. And, you know, speaking briefly to the general thing of this weekend, and this is my fourth history workshop this year, and it's like when we were done and the dream had become a reality and we let go and we turned our files and shit over to other people, some of whom we knew could not be trusted, and you know what, they couldn't be, and they blew it. And yet, you know, I'm still clean, so are a lot of people. And because I put my trust in God, I put my trust in the steps. I think the traditions are spiritual laws that can't be violated, not really. People that get afraid or get into worry or think they're rules, addicts love to break rules. But the traditions to me are like spiritual friends, you know, they like the steps. They tell me which way to go, what direction to go to. Or if I've got to go in that direction, you be real careful and pray your ass off, son of a bitch. This is a hot spot. And I'm real grateful for the committee that foresaw the need for this. I'm real grateful for their patience and their strength to keep going, because, you know, this weekend's been born out of a struggle too. If you don't know, check that out. And I'm glad that the fellowship is extending itself to examine the documents and examine the people and formulate the kind of questions that are going to eventually. It's like if y'all get real answers here, you'll transmit them to others. And information that's fact, not fantasy, will go out into the fellowship. And then the fellowship will be able to think and formulate solutions. Right now, to me, a lot of the information delivery systems in the world are just not working well. And I'd like to see an improvement there. And I know if you put enough pressure on people that don't have complete information, then you, in effect, force them to act with insufficient data, and they're going to make mistakes, often terrible mistakes. So just the fact that y'all are here is a giant miracle in itself. And, you know, your love and your perception and your questions, and you got to be careful with guys like me and Greg and some of the others that were there when a lot of this stuff happened, because we have no perspective on it. You know, when you ask these questions, I don't remember what so-and-so told me about it. I remember what it felt like to be in the room and be tired and be hungry and be confused and, you know, call your wife up and say, honey, the book's getting done. It's really getting done. And she says, I'm leaving you. And we have no, we're disabled in a sense. We're vulnerable. So you have to be patient, loving with us. You know, we're your instruments. But we can remember and we can be honest, you know, as humans can be. And we can share our written materials. it's been taken for granted that so many written materials were photocopied and passed around that there would always be plenty of them. But one of the things I've noticed this year at the other history workshops is a lot of people get so angry and mad with what happens sometimes, they trash them. And once trashed, they have nowhere coming back. And so I've got, you know, a complete set of everything I've ever had still. So do, you know, several others. And you're going to also, I think, you tell me whether this statement is true or false. It's going to take some thoughtful, painstaking, concerted, spiritual, loving work to go through archival type stuff and sort out what's needed, what's important, and evaluate. For some reason, hopefully God's telling me to tell you this, because I don't always understand what God tells me. You know, it's like I pray and God says, okay, say so-and-so, and I go like, oh, gee, I forgot. I mean, you know, it's going to sound funny. But one thing I studied, well, 2 years ago in Hollywood, California, this girl said, go get Screenplay by Sid Field, because it's really good. And 2.5 or 3 years later, I see it at the Beaver Valley Mall bookstore. And so I buy it, and I read it. And what it says in there is the first part of a movie is the setup, which is usually half an hour, identifies the actors, where it is, and what's happening. And then an interesting set of obstacles for about 60 minutes, and then 30 minutes of resolution, and that's the closing scenes of a movie. And almost every movie follows that, or screenplay, follows that format rigidly. Here you can study the setup, the givens, the factual evidence. You can even use a rumor as a fact in the sense that people believe it. It's a fact that people believe so-and-so. You can also investigate and find out whether it's a true fact or just an untrue fact that's working hardship. So you can study the setup, the obstacles that exist between us and a resolution of a lot of these matters can be numerous. They might be numerous, but they can be numerous. They don't go on forever. And, you know, bridges can be built. And then when enough people get enough understanding, then they'll see a picture, kind of a clear overview. And that's when we can start getting some resolutions. And why to do this? Because all we did was screw away a few years of our lives, endure just a minor amount of personal hardship compared with active addiction, and there come the basic texts. You do, and say a million addicts clean. You do this, you follow through with love and prayer and sincerity in your heart, and your generation will get to see like 10 million clean addicts on planet Earth. And then you can pass the responsibility over the generation after you. Okay? But I'll put that charge to you guys. You're up to it. You know you are. You can't do it if you fight among yourself. You can't do it if you got jealousy and envy and ego and all that in your heart. Just use your steps to clear it away, and then you're free. Then you can think. Then you can be straightforward. Then you ain't got to hide. Ain't got to waste all that time. And you know that's where the miracles are going to come from. Well, I love y'all. Thank you. God bless.
We used to say, you are the book. We used to say, you are the book.
Hello, everybody. My name's Glenn. I'm an addict. Oh. About April of 1977, picture a little house in a small neighborhood, middle income, and somebody a couple years clean, kind of fanatic, and some newcomers going up there to an AFC meeting at their home and throwing food together, and picture somebody walking into a bedroom. There's an old typewriter, you know, and somebody had been typing with their fingers, and I said, well, what is this? Well, we need a book. That was Bo. back in 1977. I think we had those two NA meetings on Tuesday night and Friday night, and I was always looking forward to them on Tuesday night. But that's the, you know, I heard that consistently from this person over a period of time until he got those people who wanted recovery so bad they were willing to go to any lengths to get it. That little white book helped me for a long time. It helped me for a long time. And it helped people like Bo and others get this thing together and rolling. And what was so awesome, the sacrifices these people made, right and left. And today what's even more awesome are the survivors. Are the survivors. For every one of us that are here, thousands of us are not. And for every one of us that are here, we had to sacrifice many things that we wanted because we needed and wanted recovery more than just what we wanted out there. To me, that's what that basic text is about. It's not about just a book, a physical thing, but it's about feelings and emotions and sharing and caring. And it's not about controversy. It's not about jealousy, resentments, and anger. It's about that newcomer I met today from Fort Lauderdale that's involved with a little over a year clean. You know what he's doing? He's getting a basic text type of study inventory going. Hey, there's still work to be done. You know, there's still more work to be done now than 10 years ago. Think about it. We got more resources, more money, and more power through those 12 steps now than we have ever had in the course of the history of Narcotics Anonymous. That's because people decided they were going to be consistent and jump into one disease and one fellowship and getting the basic text. And the sacrifices made through those years was not to get up here to tell that guy from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, well, we don't need you to do that. We need them to do that. If it takes 10 years to get our we do how and why, something is wrong. Something is really bad wrong. And I don't think it's just me, you know. I'm even willing to go back to the extent that I heard, I remember Ed used to talk about it. Well, it's better to have some book than no book at all. Are we going to wait until it's perfect? Until the professionals go over every word and inch of it and every comma? You know, and that was a big controversy back then. Are we going to wait 10 or 20 more years before we get our we do how and why? Are we going to tell this guy we're going to have to wait 30 or 40 more years for him to do a question and answer, for him to have a home study group on the basic text with permission? It won't get done. You hear what I'm saying? Bo hit it on the nail a while ago. If we wait, thousands of more addicts are going to die. They got questions to ask. And they need guides, G-U-I-D-E-S. And, you know, I just really wanted to hug this dude. It made me feel so good. Hey, newcomers know that there's work to be done. They don't have time to sit on our ass. And it helps people like me to maybe have a little bit more opportunity to. I don't have a good perspective on things sometimes myself. And I need y'all, and I want you, and I still love you. Just because some of us have been clean a while and around a while does not mean difficulties do not occur. And I need a question and answer guide, thank you. You know, when I get so arrogant that I got all the answers, I land up in a office run by therapists, you know. You know. And then you people pick the pieces up. And so if I don't have those answers to practice the principles, What am I going to have to offer a newcomer in 20 years? Well, we just published our We Do How and Why that's been on the rack for 20 years because of something, this and this and this. You know, how long are we going to wait? How long are we going to wait? I can't wait to ask permission to write down my experience, my strength, and my hope. No. I can't wait to find out when I can start living and sharing and caring with others in a way. There's no such thing as old-fashioned N.A., and there's no such thing as a new N.A., you know. Spiritual principles are spiritual principles. Lifestyles may change, and they come and they go. And we may change and come and go, but consistency is real important. I miss too many people here. And thank God we got who we have here. You know, Mickey said it last Saturday at a speaker meeting. You know, thank God that we can save that one starfish, and I forget about that, and I cry for those thousands of others so much instead of be grateful for that one. But remember, for each one of you here, how many thousands of others, since even you've been around, even if you're a newcomer, are not going to be at a meeting of recovery somewhere in the United States of America tonight or the world. God bless you.
My name is Ed, and I am an addict. Hey, family. One of the things that I desperately needed when I got here was some kind of involvement. And one of the things that my active using took away from me was the hippie movement. I was loaded and missed it. I've done my best to stay active, no doubt. And I got here and I got clean, and being the type of guy that I am, I chose some of the craziest ones to hang out with, and I was reaffirmed with that several times over and over. They kept telling me, Ed, you're hanging with the crazy people. But it's the ones that talked to me about not doing dope. So I hung with them. And in that hanging, we were at a restaurant one night, and what we considered a large group of us, and I'm talking about in 77, 78, was sitting at a restaurant, and the one question was asked, what do y'all think about a book for Narcotics Anonymous? And in a matter of moments, the table was cleared except for this other guy and me. And I looked and said, what's the matter? And he said, well, it's not a popular topic. It means change, and sometimes a lot of us are scared of change. And it's been a hot potato ever since. But I know that what Ed needed, Ed got by being involved in that movement. And watching people that were strung out on heroin with less than a year clean go to the blood bank and sell their blood to raise money so that we could have a copier in Lincoln, Nebraska, so that we could make copies. And the other sacrifices and the other things that just happened to be a turn of events. Because we knew down deep that in order for us to be us and to have our own personality, then we needed a book for addicts by addicts and the language to be in a way that we could understand. And nobody else was going to write it. And it's not just a couple of people's books. My personal experience over the years of development, I've seen a good 10,000 be involved. And the the differences it made in other people's lives, not only mine, but in a lot of other people's lives. And for whatever you want to call it, I've sat and watched and, you know, brought people over and, you know, they start asking about archives and I show them what I got and all that stuff and the light that lights up in their eyes. You know, we're going to have some stuff here at this thing that is very dear and very precious to a lot of people. And I feel it's one of the important things that the other people, the newer people, know what we've been through. And for me, it gave me a better anchor in a program of self-help recovery. Not only to have our book, but to know where some of his legacy came from. But there's so much, and I was one of the crazy ones that they knocked on the door. It was before my clock went off for me to go to work. And my clock had been going off at 5 o'clock or 5:10 for a lot of years, and it was going off at that time. And I could not go back to sleep because of to me, my book is the great book. It's the one that I read when I want to read the book. And yeah, I got pissed when the red book came out and I sat down and I started comparing. You know, and they left out some things that I liked. Made me work my program, them bastards. Yeah. And I had to accept the general consciousness of the fellowship. You know, and I was in line with some, but not all, but that was not a new feeling. You know. But talk it, you know, try to see what our purposes are. You know, we're not out to put anybody down or anything like that. We're just trying to have some information available so that the guy that stood at me and says, what's the big deal about Narcotics Anonymous? For what the base root of why I got involved was this one guy kept throwing it up in my face. The Narcotics Anonymous did not have a book. And you bet your sweet ass, 5 years later, I sought him out. Thank you.
Now, I'm an addict called Douglas Douglas from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And accumulated a few 24 hours keeping just for today. And the little booklet they gave in the packet. I am truly grateful to Narcotics Anonymous is where it's at today. And not where it was at before. Because after looking at that little red booklet, man, that's some sick shit in there. It's like, I've been involved in literature. In service work and literature for 4 of my 5 years in recovery. And we've been working, doing our best to keep it the we to the we concept of the program. And when I seen that you, and that S word, fear set in. Suppose, because material have a tendency of getting out to these treatment facilities that are marked for, like, committee meetings, you know. Not for just any Joe Blow to get. But you have a tendency to get out to these recovery centers. And a person gets in and they say, okay, this is what Narcotics Anonymous is about right here. And it's dead wrong. The basic text tells me what Narcotics Anonymous is about. Not this other literature that I see from way in the past. Today is where I stay in. I can't get into the future. I can't get into the past. I got to stay in today. That's where I focus at the most. And the little booklet, I felt very hurt over there. I was getting more pissed off and pissed off. Because I've been working on this little booklet, probably works high and wide since 85. And it's going to take what it takes to get this book out. Any faster, any sooner, it'd be our will. It's God's will that that book gets out. And when it gets out, it'll be perfect. What any addict anywhere can relate to. That's all I got to say about it.
Hi, my name is Danita, and I'm an addict. Hi, family. I'm from Detroit also. When I first saw the NA book, I was at a meeting, and it was a soft back of it, and I had $13, and I didn't want to buy the book because it was soft, and I saw some other people had the hard copy, so I was going to wait. And someone told me that it's cheaper than crack or a pack. And that's what made me come out with my $9 to buy the book. I know the book very well, and I don't really read it. I make meetings, and I read the book at the meetings. When I first came in and was in pain, I read the book every night. But then I started making the meetings, and I comprehend from what's read and what's said, and I live it in my life today. 15 months ago, I was blessed with the drunk driving. I was sent to the other fellowship, and I found out there was an NA. NA has given me a life. I love you people. Coming to this convention, I felt nothing but love. That's what's keeping me coming back. If there's any new members here tonight, I just want to say, keep coming until you want to come. I love you.
I'm Shorty, I'm an addict. For me, I've been around this program a little while, and I've seen a lot of things happen, but the first four people that spoke here today stated my case, because I used to get mad about what happens here and what happens there. You know, I found out I can't change that. You know, and what makes me feel good about this program and everything about this book, it's what them poor people share. You know, it's helping other people. It's helping me to help myself, you know. And I was there in Memphis, and I was a shorty that 4 o'clock, Bo, you woke me up, you know, and I'm grateful. And I did not go back to sleep either. And when I saw this book, it was in shreds of paper, paragraphs, you know, scattered all over, and I had about a month and a half clean, so there was no clean time requirement to be there, only the willing, you know. And for me today to sit back and listen to the people that share that this book has helped me, that's what helps me to overcome all this other controversy, you know. And it was a book wrote by addicts, compiled by addicts. And although they might want to take our language away, they still can't take our message away. You know? Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name's Bill. This is a basic history weekend, and covering the time period of the basic text in Narcotics Anonymous. You can say I come in here to Narcotics Anonymous as basically considered an illiterate who, they gave me a white book. I couldn't read it because I stumbled over my own words, and I was tongue-tied. and I had a low self-esteem. You know, and they gave me this little white book. And the man was up here earlier talking about hip pocket recovery. It was our basic text. You know, this book. Their original basic text from Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I took this book to work. And I read it. You know, in the steel mill. Working on a BOF furnace. And we got a little break in between time. And I read my book. And I received the message of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and that's what we're here for. We're here to learn about the message of Narcotics Anonymous, the experience that went through with it. The things, the personalities that it took. You know, and I can tell you what it did to my home group where I'm from today, and the home group that I belong to today is the same home group that I walked into in 1979. The only difference is the group changed its name because it changed its name from the Day by Day group to Recovery First. It changed its name because it realized that the name implied an outside book and wanted an identity of Narcotics Anonymous, and Recovery First was an identity that our recovery stood first. But what the big change was is I went to a second East Coast convention, and there was a man there from Memphis, Tennessee on roller skates who gave me a gray book. And he hugged me, and he rubbed me down, and I thought the man had a sexual problem. What he touched was my innermost self, my fear, my insecurities, my lack of identification. And he also gave me a four-step inventory guide. And then he turned and looked at me in the eye and told me to work the steps or die, motherfucker. And that's exactly what he told me. I want to hit the man. But the man become my sponsor because he had what I needed. Not what I wanted, but what I needed. And he told me to take this book home. And it's what I feel made the home group I belong to today what it is. I took that gray book and never looked at the front cover that said for review and input only, not for distribution. And I went home and we set these two tables in the back of the room. I had AA literature on one table. Had a little spot with the NA literature, and I had the DNA literature on another table. And I took a little bit of NA literature we had, and I took it and put it aside. And I picked these two tables up, and I dumped this shit in the garbage can. And I slapped this book down. I said, this is our book. And I was a violent human being back then. I'm talking about my nature was a violence from the life that I came from. I had an identity, and it was not as an addict. It was as a biker. I was scooter tramped, and that's how I identified. I looked for scooter tramp in the Fellowship Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't look for addicts. But this book saved me from the identification crisis I had, of having to have something. And I took this gray book, and it became the basic text for our group. And we start input and reviewing it. We start reading this book. We started a step meeting with it. And it gave us something to call ours. And it didn't matter. And also what the man told me to do was go to the next NA function that there was. You know, and he told me to get involved. I mean, Ed was talking about getting involved. And I think the biggest thing that touched me in the group I was from was open, participatorial involvement in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, not closed doors. It's what got me to where I'm at today. See, because Narcotics Anonymous gave me an education. I didn't go back to ninth grade where I walked out of in 1968. To start my schooling over. I went to Narcotics Anonymous, and 10 years later I walked into, as a freshman in college, with 3.5 grade average, because Narcotics Anonymous taught me how to read and write. They taught me how to utilize a dictionary. They taught me how to get involved and not have fear. And it was through the writing of the basic text, through nothing else. It was through this book, this literature work that was going on. The movement that they talked about back then was not something that you can touch today because it's not here today, because the movement was a spiritual entity of the fellowship that was going on. And that's what I was introduced to. I was introduced to something that saved my life because it was a spirit. It was come with us and get involved. And I told the man, I don't know how to write. And he says, it's not about that. There's something that you can do. He re-encouraged the addict that said, I cannot do. And he rubbed me down and told me that I was a success. And that was the most important thing that happened. He got me to a world literature conference. He got me involved in world literature. He got me to come to the world convention in Miami Beach, WCNA 11. The man got me involved, and he re-encouraged me. Every time I had resentment or anger, he'd have me look at myself in the mirror. He'd have it reflected on me. And he got me involved in the home group. He got me involved in input and review. He got me to that World Literature Conference in Ivyland, Pennsylvania. And I listened to phone calls around the world, sitting in that room. I returned to the Literature Conference and worked on the pamphlet sponsorship. You know, and I got involved because of this. I got involved because somebody said that I could do something, and they didn't have closed doors. Service was not closed doors. Service was, and if you read it in the white flippy floppy, it talks about getting involved. I mean, it tells you it's time to do or not to do. It's time, basically what it told me was it's time to stand up and be counted for. And this has been the obstacle that's been removed. And we're talking about history. History is something that needs to be put down factual, but the thing that needs to be more is the experience, the strength, and the hopes that were involved with it, what happened with it, and the last great piece of literature and the only basic text that we received no more, was through the open participatorial writing practice. We closed down the doors and we created obstacles. There were no obstacles because people re-encouraged each other to rise above their own personalities, to rise above the obstacles. And that's what this is about, learning that process and how we do things, how we did it. And that's what this is about for me this weekend. I know that what happened a couple of weeks ago in my hometown is a home group sponsored a history and literature awareness workshop in my hometown, and we spent 36 hours in the church basement. And I know what has happened through that is my home group has got the spirit from 1980 and 81 and 82 back in it. That same spirit, that same activity, that same support system that happened back then, of rubbing each other down, taking newcomers and spending time with newcomers and re-encouraging people. Our message is a living message. It was put down, but it's a living message that we live. And that's what this is about. I mean, I don't know about it works, how, and why. I know the 10th chapter of the basic text ends with a chapter called More Be Revealed. Okay? And it says there's a continuation of this recovery. I believe it works, how, and why should be put into the basic text where it belongs in the step and tradition portion. I don't believe our literature should be utilized for money-making profiteering that way. I believe that there's a place for it in there, a complete book on recovery, basic text. I know the spirit back then was, let's get it out, because everyone was using, and I'm not afraid to use the words, was using the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book as its book. And the things we were told was, you can't replace it. No, we couldn't replace it. We didn't want to use it. It wasn't a replacement. It was something of our own identity. And that's what it gave us. a unity and sense of purpose. And that's what this book is about. That's what the history is about, a unity and sense of purpose. And a continuation of that there, that writing. A continuation and maybe a reoccurrence and a spirit again flowing through the fellowship for involvement. And if the doors are there in our service structure, walk through them. If they're locked up, knock them down. If someone says you're not allowed or you don't have a voice, protest. That's what our history taught us. Not to find obstacles. And if the obstacles are there, remove them. And that's what I challenge myself to do today. And if my personality offends people, do what my sponsor told me in 1981, put the mirror up and look into it. Because it's your reflection. And I'm only your reflection. And that's what this is about, recovery. Spiritually rubbing each other down. I can tell you there's special people that are in this room tonight that come up to this mic. I only met them because of the basic text. I only met them because of showing up. And I got pictures of them in my house. I got pictures of Ed there. I got pictures of Greg at the Fourth East Coast. You know, pictures of Bo. Pictures of people at the World Service Conference because of this. Pictures. And it's like my wife pulls these pictures out, and I mean, I did crazy things. I used to run around and stick my tongue out a lot. You know, and I was 119 pounds, long hair, but you accepted me for who I was and not because of what I used to be. You accepted me because of what this little white book had in it, because of what the basic text said in it, because I wanted help. And that's what the message is. I wanted help, and you accepted me for that. You told me to call you any time of the night, and I can tell you there's a man called Jimmy Kinnon who spent many of ours on the telephone with me. Many of ours. I couldn't sleep the first 2 years of my recovery because of the chemicals that I used. And a year clean, I was evaluated as having brain damage. A year clean, they told me that I need to go on chemicals. They didn't understand the detoxification that I was going through. But the fellowship did. They rubbed me down and pointed me to the second step, a restoration of sanity. The fellowship knew that it was just a detoxification. And Jimmy Kinnon knew, because he spent all night in the telephone with me. And I'm talking about all night. And I go to work in the morning to work in a furnace again. And I go home and I go to a meeting. And I call the people up. And they had the time for me. They created it. They didn't have answering machines. And say, call back later. It's important. If it's important, I'll return your call. They didn't push me off. If they had something that they needed to do, they made sure there was another person there for me. And that's what this year movement did for me. I need to share that piece because it saved my life. And it's something I need to be involved in today. I need to be involved in the Fellowship Narcotics Anonymous at the home group level. I need to be involved in putting things down in print that what our message is. And if your message is not included, get involved and make sure it's included. If the obstacles are there, remove them. Our traditions are our spiritual... Our traditions are what keeps us together. Our traditions are the answers to any obstacle. And that's in our book. The only thing that gets in our road is our own personalities. And if you ever been isolated because of service, there's enough of us you can talk to. I mean, I'm sure there could be a reoccurrence of anonymi. I'm sure there's still some people that got cards. okay? And it's a card that is for people that have been isolated for their beliefs, and because of back in the writing of the basic text, because we went against the grain. We went against the grain. If it means going against the grain, if it means that you're a minority voice, don't take that a minority voice is wrong. Our history has proven that the minority doesn't prove that it's wrong. There can be a whole wave of people that don't want to change. And a minority may just be a voice in the wilderness crying out. And if it disturbs you inside of what's happening, it's probably because we need to get off our ass and do something. Not attack, but rub each other down and take time out for each other. Because that's what the basic text did. People rubbed each other down.